Welcome to Bodcast, the Business of Dentistry podcast, brought to you by Practice Plan. Bodcast delivers the best business advice, real-life stories, and practical hints and tips to make your practice a more profitable and sustainable business. And now, here's your host.
Welcome to today's episode of Bodcast. I'm Becky Hargreaves, Branding and Communications Coordinator at Practice Plan. And today I've been joined by Sheila Scott. Hi, Sheila.
Hi, Becky.
So, Sheila, today you're going to be talking to us about positively changing behaviours in your team.
I hope so. Okay. Thanks, Becky. I really want to do this podcast to help business owners and managers have better conversations with their team members so that they can help them to do their jobs better, to get more out of them, to have them influencing the business in a better way. And I've been helping managers do this for some time, and I think of it as teaching them a framework for having conversations which help them to direct and guide and influence and motivate other people to change business. It's not a skill that is about discipline, although it's used as part of the disciplinary process. It's more positive than that, and it's about helping the team members to do better for the business and for the individuals themselves, and helping them to achieve the potential and achieving the potential of the business. Does that make sense?
So sort of like finding their hidden potential and making the most of
that. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, definitely. The skill itself that I teach is also useful for family and friends. Mm-hmm. It's a personal skill. Yeah. It's founded actually in child development, so it's very useful for those of you who are parents. But it's useful for, you know, nights out with the girls, dealing with family members, dealing in most situations in life. So it's a life skill as well as a business skill, but very useful. Now, before I start, I'd just like to say that the absolute role model for this skill is the super nanny, Jo Frost.
Right, yes.
So if anyone wants to find out just a real expert in the skill themselves, see if you can find some old videos or DVDs of Jo Frost's programmes. Yeah. And she uses this skill that I'm going to talk about with both parents, i.e. adults, and children, and it works.
Okay.
She just amends the language a little bit.
Yeah.
We'll also find that there are some listeners who recognise their own behaviour in it. Some people are naturals at using it. I reckon about 1 in 20 people are natural users of this particular framework because they've worked out that it works.
Right.
The rest of us, me included, have to work at it. So it does take some work. But the people who can use it are incredibly successful. They're great people. They can galvanise teams, solve problems, get people to do things, say things that some of us would balk at. And really get well respected as people for doing these things. So it's a real leadership skill.
I was going to say, it sounds like something a leader wants to have under
their
belt.
Absolutely. Now, I call it constructive motivational feedback.
Right.
And the book hasn't been written yet about constructive motivational feedback. It's got bits from various theories and practices in it, and some of the listeners will recognise bits of motivational interviewing, for example, in it. But hopefully it will bring together the best in what we can do when we're asking other people to change behaviour. So, shall I just go and get on with it?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. Constructive motivational feedback. It is about giving feedback to individuals on what you have observed them doing or saying, or behaving or performing, or however I want to think about it. And it's about how you give the feedback in terms of the language you use. And the first thing you have to think about is being really specific in your observations of what your team member has just done or what they've just said. And as I said earlier, this is not about disciplining, it's not about telling people off, it's not about telling them what they've done wrong, it's about describing in a very reasonable, pleasant, helpful, realistic way, exactly what you've just observed.
Yeah.
So we describe exactly what they've done, so there's no argument about what you have just observed. For example, it's quite difficult to do this. The natural thing is to explain why you think somebody's done something. So it's quite easy to say you were stupid, you were aggressive, you were unhelpful.
Yes.
But that's not useful because I don't really know what it is I've just done that was unhelpful or aggressive.
Yeah, I guess people get a bit defensive as
they
well.
They get very defensive.
Yeah.
And it just, you go straight into a natural reaction to being judged.
Yes.
Because all of these words, all of these interpretations are judgments of behaviour.
Yeah.
So we react badly.
Yes.
And we're not in a good place to have the conversation. But also, we don't always know what it is.
No.
And one of the things I quite often do in my courses when I'm talking about aggressive behaviour is go and stand too close to a nice young man in the audience who invariably acts a little bit defensively.
Yeah.
And you know, he might think I was being aggressive by standing too close to it, but hey, maybe I was coming on to him. So the interpretation of the behaviour is something I will argue with, but nobody can argue with the fact that I stood too close.
Mm-hmm.
So describe it as standing too close. That's what I've just done, that's what caused the problem. So surely you just stood too close.
Yes.
And then what we have to do is to explain why that's a problem, because in my world I think that's normal.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I don't know what you know about standing too close to people, so you have to say to me it makes Chris feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the fact that you've explained what might be obvious is the reason why I might have to change my behaviour at that point. So, there's no emotion and there's no blame in what I've just done.
Yep.
It's a pure statement of the facts.
Yep.
And it's a statement of what the effect of what I've
yes.
done is.
Yep.
So, how do we then get me to agree to do something different?
Mm-hmm.
What I believe happens is that most of us find that the natural thing for us to do is to tell me, or tell whoever it is we're talking to, what we should do instead.
Yeah.
Because if you're observing my behaviour, you can see what I've done wrong.
Yeah.
You're moving fast through your life and you know exactly what I have to do it better.
Yeah.
And the obvious thing to do is to tell me.
Yeah.
Well, Miss Manager, that's all very well for you to tell me.
Yeah.
But I don't really like being told what to do.
I suppose, especially if it's if it was me, I would have done this. That type of thing would be even more something that might kind of get someone's defences up again, because
absolutely.
You're kind of trying to mirror behaviours and
And everybody has got an answer to
yes.
the things that they observe that they know are wrong.
Yeah.
But if I'm the one who's doing it and you tell me what the answer is, I'm going to resent you again.
Yeah. You're not painting a good picture there of yourself.
No. So don't try not to allow me to feel that resentment. So don't put me in that position. Don't tell me what to do. Ask me what I can do to change things.
To change. Yeah.
Or even better, ask me why I've done it.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me why you were standing so close to Chris.
Yeah. They might not have even realised they were doing whatever it was.
Did you realise that it would have that effect?
Yeah.
So it's the questions are really important here to get to the bottom of why I'm behaving in the way I'm behaving.
Yeah.
And then you have to ask a question that moves me forward. So what can we do to stop that next time? How do I know you're not going to do that next time? How do you think you could do this differently?
Mm-hmm.
And we've all got a little bag of questions that we haul out at these moments. And they're all a bit different. We use them differently. But the framework is describe the specific, tell me why it was important or difficult, what the impact of that action was, and then ask me a question to move me forward.
Yeah.
Now, that takes sometimes four times as long as just telling me what to do.
Yeah, so it sounds like quite a simple model, but then I guess when it's put into practice,
it's quite difficult
because
it goes against the grain.
Yes.
Because what happens in real life is that we see or hear something happening in the world, and we've been taught as children to make an interpretation about it, and we think we're moving faster than the world if we can think, oh, well, this is what's happening here. But if we get that interpretation wrong, it causes misunderstanding and a breakdown of relationships, and we want to avoid that.
Mm-hmm.
So keep it calm, keep it specific, keep it factual, keep it detailed. Don't talk about why you think I've done something. You'll be wrong, and if you're not, I'll use it to argue with you. And if you're not, even if you're not wrong, you'll upset me because I'll feel you're judging me.
Yeah.
So keep it clear.
Yes. Okay.
And the questions are very important.
Yeah.
When I'm working with managers on this, one of the things that we do is we try to list a number of questions which we can pull out in almost any situation.
Yeah.
And there's two types of questions. You can have questions which look back on the behaviour.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be things like, tell me a bit more about what happened there. Why did that happen? Did you realise that would happen? Did you realise you'd done that?
Yeah.
And the question is to move things forward. What can we do differently? Do you need some help with that?
Yeah.
Is there something we need to put in place to stop other people falling into this trap?
Yeah.
and so on. And it's about solving the problem. It's about coming up with a solution that's going to help us to move forward.
Yes.
Now, if you can practice this framework, the specific, the impact, the question. In fact, I quite often say I specific. If you use the I word, it helps you to describe what you saw or heard. You'd find it hard to say, I saw you being unhelpful. When you say that, you would say, I saw you pull the paper away from Claire too early. Mm-hmm. Or I saw you kicking Bill. If you're talking about your kids or your husband, I suppose. So describe what it is.
Yes.
If you can get really skilled at using the framework, the I specific impact question, you'll find that you get at least twice as much effort from the people around you being put into doing what they feel they can do or how they can solve the problem. And it's much more effective than just telling people what to do. And they start to take responsibility thinking about achieving the impact that is required from you. So it's much more effective to have this conversation with people. And I reckon if you get really good at the conversations and you get people changing behaviour more willingly than they might have done if you told them what to do, you can get results 9 times out of 10 that you use this framework. And it's managers who start using it for the first time are quite astounded at how easy it is to help people to do things better just because of the way they're having the conversations. But there's 10% of the time it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And listeners already are probably thinking, aye, but what happens when?
Yeah.
So let me help you with that one. I've got two bits of advice for you. Two major threads of advice for you. One is, if you don't get the answer you're looking for in the first place, go back over your specific or your impact and ask a question again.
Oh, okay.
More questions, more chances you give somebody to come up with how they can solve the problem, the more likely they are to come up with an answer. They might need a bit of time to think about it. So just sort of sit back a little bit and say, well, we really need to solve this problem. How do you think we can do it? And if you ask too lots of questions, and then you might be tempted to say, well, if it were me, I would do it like this. That's okay, but when you do that, you've got to say, would that work for you? You've got to give them a chance to say no, actually.
Yeah, so you're still putting the ball back in their court,
aren't
you?
So you might come up with a suggestion, but you allow them to say no.
Yeah.
Okay, so what would work for you? And then you let them come back with how they might do it. And it might take a little bit of time. You might have to say, well, we're not going to sort it today. Let's talk about this tomorrow. Let's think about it, see if we can come up with an answer. What we're not doing is allowing ourselves not to come up with an answer.
Yeah.
We're going to be persistent. We're going to be consistent. We're going to come back. We're going to get an answer here. So it's about more questions. So if you don't get an answer first, ask more questions.
Yeah.
That's one thing you have to do. The second thing I would suggest is that you have to be able to handle it when somebody throws a googly at you and says,
not everyone's just going to sit there and
say, oh yes, they're not going to be the model, the model patient, are they, or the model team member.
It's probably the worst case scenario, I suppose, if it's somebody like listening who thinks, I want to try and implement this framework, but you get someone who really throws a bit of a wobbly.
Yeah,
that must
be the hardest. They don't stick to the script.
Yeah.
Okay. When they're not sticking to the script, they're usually trying to throw you off having the conversation.
Yeah.
It sounds like an excuse. Maybe it is an excuse. Maybe it's a reason. So there might be something that they say you might have to go back and say, well, tell me a bit more about how that allows this to happen. Is that something that we have to solve? But quite often it's about somebody trying to throw you off track so that you don't stick to the
diversion tactic.
Yeah, you don't stick to coming up with the answer. So when that happens, you've got three major weapons in your bag.
Okay.
The first one is, well, you actually observed what you observed, didn't you? So if you say I specific impact question, and someone comes back and says, but I didn't do that, you then can go back and say, well, actually, I saw you removing the paper before the patient had finished with it. Or I actually saw you doing this. I heard you using that word.
Yeah.
And it's got this problem. So what are we going to do about it? So you go straight back in and you're going, you have to go back into the question. We have to come up with an answer for this. I saw you doing it. What's the question? Ask a question. Or you can say, well, actually, I observed this impact. So if someone says, I didn't do that, you can say, well, but I saw the patient looking unhappy.
Yeah.
What caused that? What can we do to stop that happening? There was something that caused the patient to have that effect. Or it could be, well, I noticed a distinct cooling in the atmosphere in the team when this happened. What caused that? What can we do to stop that happening again? So you've got your specific and your impact, and you're so clear about your specific and your impact that I can't argue with you. I have to come up with an answer somehow.
Yeah.
And that helps us to stick with the direction we're going in to get the answer we're looking for. And the other thing that you have in your bag that you can pull out at a moment's notice is an apology.
Yes.
And sometimes you have to, because sometimes you give your best specific at impact and ask the best question. Somebody gets upset.
Yeah.
How dare you say that about me? Are you having a go at me?
Yeah.
and that can throw some managers, when in fact, you didn't mean to have a go at me. You weren't complaining. All you were concerned about is what happens when I turn up late in the morning.
Yeah.
So say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to upset you, Sheila. What I'm concerned about is you turning up late in the morning, which causes this problem with the team. What can we do to sort it? So you go straight back to the script.
Yeah, you're thinking about the impact.
Question.
Rather than you're not having a go, you're just thinking of the impact that that behaviour is going to have.
That's right.
So, yeah, okay.
And the and you don't mean to upset me, so say so.
Yeah.
Be quick with your apology. It costs you nothing.
Yeah.
It takes a sting out of the conversation. It allows you to move forward.
I'm probably a bit surprised, maybe, some people that you're actually apologising, maybe a bit like,
I do sometimes.
I suppose every time, if you're feeling a bit defensive and you maybe feel like your manager is having a go, and then they apologise and explain, that must kind of put you back and thinking, maybe it is something I can change, rather than they're just picking on me.
It takes that initial sting out.
Yeah.
It's not going to work every time, but if we get a 95% success rate, then we're helping people to do better, and it's going to make things much easier in the practice going forward.
Definitely.
These are the main nuggets of how to give constructive motivational feedback to people, and how to have these difficult conversations with people that a few managers will shy away from. It's really important that you have these conversations and you have them regularly. And remember that sometimes it can take 4 or 5 or 6 different attempts at constructive feedback before someone will actually change their behaviour, because what we're changing is habits.
Yes.
And habits are really difficult to change.
Yeah.
So if you want me to lose weight, you're going to have to give me feedback 6 or 7 times before I take it on board.
Yeah.
So if I need to change how I answer the phone, I'm going to need 6 or 7 different bits of feedback sometimes before I can change them.
You can't see results overnight.
You can't.
Gradual.
So be grateful for small mercies.
Yeah.
and there's many different shades of grey between black and white, and if you can move a couple of shades at a time, then you need to accept that and give me positive feedback.
Yes.
When I do make a change, encourage me.
Because that will motivate you to keep,
absolutely.
Keep going.
So what you have to do is to think about your language, think about how you're being much more specific, think about explaining the impacts every time, think about your questions, and do some practicing.
Yeah.
If you go out and try doing my specific impact question 5 times today, 5 times tomorrow, you've got a chance. You might actually think about putting it into that framework when something happens. And you react with a bit of temper, and you calm it back down, and you say, well, actually, I'm going to tackle this, and I'm going to tackle it well. What was it that made me think that he or she behaved like that? It was that thing they did.
Yeah.
Explain the thing they did.
Yeah, find the root.
Be clear about what the impact was.
Yeah.
And ask them what they think. Ask them why they did it.
Yeah.
Ask them what they can do about it. And you'll be well on the road to helping people do things better.
That sounds brilliant, Sheila. It sounds like such a simple model, but if you just start implementing, though, and just start weaving it in into how you do things, then hopefully over time you'll feel more confident asking those types of questions and encouraging those changes. But at least it's not something too complicated to grasp in the first instance. It sounds like a good, solid framework.
It takes a little bit of thought, a little bit of practice.
Yes.
but maybe you can use it for everything.
Yeah, because maybe try it at home first.
Oh, yes.
On the husband.
Oh,
the
absolutely.
Kids.
Well, actually, you can try it on the kettle first. Yeah. Or you can try it with the cats first. You can try it on something inanimate just to get into the habit of it.
Yeah.
So there's no excuses for not trying. And you can actually go to the kettle and say, look, kettle, you know when you boil a little bit, you're too full, and you boil a bit furiously, and you spill water on the counter? Sometimes that runs off the countertop and hits me on the foot, and that hurts.
It does hurt.
Were you aware that that was happening? Is there anything you can do about it? So you can practice. I used to practice with a cat.
Oh, did you?
Yes. My cat used to bring home little presents, and that's lovely, but sometimes when you leave them behind the computer and I miss them, they begin to smell, and it's
not
very
nice.
Anything you can do about it? Yeah. Then move on to the husband. That's a good one.
Yeah.
And then
take it into
real life. But don't forget, always use it for positive things.
Yes.
As well as for the things that need to improve. So give feedback on what people are doing well.
Yeah, don't forget
be specific.
Yeah.
And I reckon in practice that when you give feedback on things that need to change, the development opportunities that people have, that's management.
Mm-hmm.
You're helping, you're leading and guiding them to do something better. When you give feedback on what they've done well, you're encouraging them to do more of it. So when you say thank you to your nurse for how they did things during the day, tell them what they did. Don't tell them that they were really great today. Tell them that how they dealt with patient X in this way, which caused this to happen.
Yeah.
That makes them feel good. They might do more of it. And that's leadership.
Yeah. Brilliant. Thank you very much, Sheila. That's been really insightful. And I'm sure our listeners are going to take away some really great advice there with the framework that you've suggested. So thanks for joining us on
this
podcast. And we'll speak again soon.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.